The text is the Gospel reading from St. Matthew. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Here ends our text. Today, we restore the Amen to the communicants. Our page 15 communion service never had one there, but it does suggest in the rubrics that communicants may say Amen after the pastor gives them the body and gives them the blood. The 1982 Lutheran worship, and now the 2006 Lutheran service book, they do put one, an Amen, at the dismissal, and it belongs there. The pastor says, may this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and to life everlasting, depart in peace. And the communicants respond, Amen. Amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. Or as you learned in confirmation, it means this is most certainly true. Amen is a fitting response to the pastor's expressed hope that the body and blood of Jesus you just partook of would strengthen and preserve you in true faith. And Advent is a fitting time to begin saying it because Amen is the particular cry of Advent. The last words spoken by our Lord in the Bible are, Behold, I am coming soon. And how does the church respond in Revelation? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, Advent is the time where we focus on the coming of Jesus. And Amen is the proper response to all three of his comings. Say Amen to his first coming. Say, this is most certainly true, that God the Son came into our time and space. His crossing from heaven to earth is as historical as Caesar crossing the Rubicon, Hannibal crossing the Alps, or Washington crossing the Potomac. As you can trace your physical descent from parents to grandparents to great-grandparents and beyond, so Matthew can trace Jesus' physical descent to Abraham. And St. Luke can trace it all the way back to Adam himself. The first coming of Jesus is not a legend, it's not a myth, it's not a pious belief. It's historical fact. He was born of Mary in Bethlehem at the time of the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Say Amen to Jesus' first coming. Say it is most certainly true that he came the first time, humble, lowly, to fulfill the law that always accuses you and to pay the debt of your sin. Luke the historian dates the beginning of Jesus' ministry the way historians of his day dated things, in association with the reigns of Roman officials. At a public place in time and space, God the Son was put under all God's laws by being circumcised. 30 years later, again in a public space, at a definite time, Jesus accepted all the sins of the world as his own by being baptized by John the Baptist. Finally, under a historical Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, who you can look up in a secular history book, under him Jesus was crucified, suffered, and died. Say amen to that. Amen, we say to the first coming of Jesus, because nothing has been the same since for sinners. It's like that George Strait song says, If it wasn't for Texas, and there he sings about all the ways life has been impacted by the state of Texas. Well, if it wasn't for Jesus' first coming, there'd be no hope, no salvation, no forgiveness for sinners. Years would not be A.D., that is, in the year of our Lord. They'd be dated as they used to be, from the founding of the last great city. If it wasn't for Jesus, We would live these years under the law, telling us how far short of God's glory we were, and we'd live with the weight of our own sins, sinking us certainly into hell. But Jesus did come the first time to redeem us, to rescue us from all of this. And so we say, amen. Say amen to the first coming and say amen to the second coming of Jesus. The second time he comes, not in humility to suffer and die, but in power and might to judge the quick and the dead. The first time Jesus came to gather all people under his cross. The second time Jesus comes to separate. To separate sheep from goats, wheat from tares, grain from chaff, those going to heaven from those going to hell. As the gospel reading for this week and next week warn, there is no salvation by descent or proximity. Can you say amen to that? Being born of Christian parents, that is no guarantee that you're a sheep and not a goat. Growing up in a Christian home, that's no promise that you're a wheat and not a tare. Being from Lutheran stock as far back as Luther, that's no assurance that you're grain heading for the barn and not chaff heading for the fire. As there is no salvation by descent, so there's no salvation by proximity. Because you work side by side with a devout Christian, that does not mean you'll be taken with him or her to heaven. No, one is going to be taken and the other is going to be left. To all outside observation, there is no difference between the two. At his second coming, Jesus will show there is a huge difference. Can you say amen to that? Can you say that it is most certainly true that I am waiting for Jesus to judge the living and the dead, particularly when he promises, you do not know the day your Lord will come. And when he promises that he comes at an hour when you do not expect him. Can you say amen to keeping watch like Noah did for 120 years? Can you say amen to looking for Jesus as you would a thief in the night? How can you? Do you like to be startled? Do you like to be shocked? Do you like to be stunned, dazed, or shaken, or traumatized? You can only say amen to the second coming of Jesus if you know you have an ark to ride out the coming tidal wave of judgment. You can only say amen to the second coming of Jesus if you know you're the guy in the field or the gal in the kitchen who's going to be taken. You can only say amen to the return of Jesus if he comes for you the way he came for the thief on the cross and not as a thief in the night. However, be certain of this. If you are like the people of Noah's day, you have no ark, you are going to be left, and Jesus comes as a thief for you. The people of Noah's day said amen to more life in this world, to more eating, more drinking, more marrying. And though Noah warned them for 120 years about the coming judgment, Jesus says they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Now how can that be? How could they be so ignorant of the coming flood in the face of this giant boat being built before them? I'll tell you why. Because they didn't say amen to the Lord coming to them in the sermons that Noah preached. Yes, yes, there's a third coming of our Lord. The first coming was when Jesus took on flesh and blood in the Virgin Mary. The second coming is his returning to judge. The third coming is his coming to earth today as he has come from Adam and Eve on in word and sacraments. Now this coming is a real, tangible, touchable coming. It's rooted in our time and in our space. It is historical. It is objective. No less than the first coming was and the second one will be. Touch the waters of baptism and you touch Jesus, because everyone who is baptized puts on Jesus, says St. Paul. Hearing these words of mine in your ears, you hear the lips of Jesus speaking, for he said, the one who hears my pastors hears me. Eat this bread and drink this wine, and you eat the body of Jesus and you drink his blood. Say amen to touching, tasting, smelling, hearing, and seeing your Lord and God as he comes to earth today. What needs to be emphasized is that Jesus' third coming in word and sacrament is indeed in time and space. It's external to you and not only internal in the realm of the Spirit. See, most Christians think of the Lord coming spiritually, subjectively, inwardly. Jesus needs to be born inside of you. Even our own Advent hymns can give you that picture. Our opening hymn said, "Enter now my waiting heart, dwell in me and ne'er depart." Our sermon hymn saying, "Still he comes within us." And our distribution hymn is going to say, "Redeemer, come, I open wide my heart to thee. Here, Lord, abide. Let me thine inner presence feel." Now, it is most certainly true that we can and we do say amen to an internal faith being necessary for the right use of word and sacraments. Faith receives the blessings of the Word of God, that the Word of God attaches to visible, touchable elements existing in time and space. But Jesus enters your waiting heart as he comes in baptismal waters that touch your body. Jesus comes to you through real words spoken from mouths that create waves of sound to vibrate your eardrums. And the Lord does abide in these physical bodies in a physical way through his physical body and his physical blood that we eat and drink at this altar. If you don't say amen to the Lord coming to you today in word and sacraments, you're going to get lost in the secular Christmas spirit, which is all about good feelings between people, warm feelings of hearth and home. Either you're going to have those good feelings for people, hearth, and home, and you conclude you do have the spirit of Christmas, or you'll not have those good feelings for people, hearth, and home, and you'll conclude you don't have the Christmas spirit. Well, in either case, you would be wrong. The spirit of Christmas is not a feeling. It's a person. It's the third person of the Holy Trinity. You get this spirit through the three gifts the Lord Jesus left to you: holy baptism, holy absolution, holy communion. You know you have the real spirit of Christmas when you're in your baptismal waters, when the words of forgiveness are ringing in your ears, when you're eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus who came the first time to redeem you and will return the second to bring you home. It's the third coming in word and sacraments that ties the other two together. The only way 2 millennia later for you to touch, taste, handle, smell, and hear the Jesus who came the first time is by the word and sacraments he left. The only way to prepare for his second coming is to meet him regularly where he promises to be for you in your baptism, absolution, and communion. In these, he covers your sins. In these, he forgives your sins. In these, he washes away your sins and strengthens and preserves you in the true faith. And to this, we can and we do say, amen. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.